Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن بسم الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم God peace be with you. Today is June 13th, the year 2021. You're listening to Words My People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. And we will come right back after our opening theme song. And our topic today is titled, Are You Enslaved to a Language Environment? And we will get into that conversation here soon, shortly, inshallah. But in the meanwhile, we will play our opening theme song and come back and do some Quranic reading and commentary. Today's reading is going to be centered around chapter 38, verses 22 through 24. Again, chapter 38, verses 22 through 24 of the Quran. But in the meanwhile, we will play our opening theme song, sung by our beloved sister Khadija Abdullah, our beloved sister, singing our theme song, Words Made People. But in the meanwhile, call a friend. Tell them to tune in. We'll be right back. Welcome to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, calling in from my phone, and I'm going to ask my wife to give me a sound check to make sure the sound is clear. She can come and let me know. because Friday we had a problem with our sound system, and it was really terrible. It was just bad. There's no other way to say that. It was just in very bad shape. So we're going to wait for her to give me a confirmation. She can please come tell me if the sound's clear or not, because we do not want to go through 2 hours of talking just to be told that the sound was not clear. So once you get that confirmation, we'll go ahead. Okay, so I got to go ahead. The sound is clear. So again, assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, peace be upon you and God's mercy and blessings. Welcome to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, with my co-host from the West Coast, Imam Ayman Abdul-Majid. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam Ayman.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon you, as well as the mercy and blessing of God be with you and the radio listening audience. Looking forward for a very exciting show today.
I think it should be hopefully inspirational and informational, and that combination is very exciting. So, yes, let's see what can we get going here. Let's begin our conversation. We always read from the Quran first. That's our staple. You know, we should not, in my opinion, have a show called Words Make People and not first review the best words for making people. There are no words better for making people than revelation. None. And so then the books of revelation, you know, we're Muslims and we will promote and think very well, defend that of the various forms of revelation, the Quran is the best. Containment, retainment, preservation of revelation, and in particular in its original form, therefore its original meaning, therefore the best expressions. So before reading from the Quran, we always seek God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. And we say in Arabic, "A'udhu billahi minay shaitani rajim." A'udhu billahi minay shaitani rajim. I seek refuge or protection with Allah. A'udhu billahi. That be is saying with. Billahi, with Allah. Minay, away from. Minay shaitan, away from the shaitan of the Satan, the devil. Nirajim, the rejected one. And so that's our protection that we seek, Brother Imam Ayman, before reading the Quran. We seek God's protection with God, away from the evil one. And then next we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of God, with the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So Allah's mercy comes twice. Merciful benefactor is Ar-Rahman. And that is the mercy that we get without even asking for it. And it's the mercy that we get without even know that we need it. But Allah just gives in abundant measure is mercy, Rahman, is mercy, Rahman. Then we get a second measure of mercy, Rahim, that comes to redeem us or to renew us, to refresh us. And that accounts to those who are conscious of their Lord. See, Ar-Rahman will come to those who may be conscious of their Lord or may not be conscious of their Lord. But Ar-Rahim is the mercy that comes for those who are conscious of their Lord, because God is renewing them, us. Redeeming us, making us new and making us afresh. So those are the two phrases that we say before even begin reading the Quran. We just don't pick up the Quran and read like we do the newspaper or another book. When we pick up the Quran, we are reading excellent revelation that spells out the excellence of the human being and the destiny of the human being. So we treat it very special. So here in the Quran, in Surah 38:22, it speaks about the two brothers that climbed the wall or went and got into the chambers, so you may say, where David was. And we go with the English translation. This is Yusuf Ali translation. But beginning with Surah 38, verse 22. It says, when they entered the presence of David, and he was terrified of them, they said, fear not. We are two disputants, one of whom has wronged the other. Decide now between us with truth. With truth, and treat us not with injustice, but guide us to the even path. This man is my brother. He has 990 ewes, or a female sheep, ewes, E-W-E-S. And I have but one. Yet he says, commit her to my care, and is moreover harsh to me in speech. David said, he has undoubtedly wronged you in demanding your single sheep, to be added to his flock of sheep or ewes. The use of the female sheep. I think the ram is the male, correct? Yes. So they're both lambs, but the male is a ram, and the female is a ewe. It's a ewe, spelled E-W-E. So going back to 24, Ayah 24, David says he has undoubtedly wronged you in demanding your single ewe to be added to his flock of ewes. Truly, many are the partners in business who wrong each other. Not so do those who believe and work deeds for righteousness, and how few are they. And David gathered that we had tried him. He asked forgiveness of his Lord, fell down bowing, and turn to Allah in repentance. And Allah has spoken the mighty truth. So we have here Brother Imam Ayman, these two brothers. And the one brother, he made his complaint. It says that his brother, it says, this man is my brother. He is 990 years, and I have but one. Yet he says, commit her to my care, and is moreover harsh to me in speech. And this is, I think, a very important part that we can focus upon, because when he speaks about his brother being cruel to him, he says that his brother has overpowered him. He says, why? Azini, wa azene fi al kitabi. And he has overpowered me in speech. And that's where the oppression was taken. And that was the second part of the oppression. The first part was that he was demanding his one single you. But the big problem, or the bigger problem, or just as big problem, was that not only did he want his one sheep, that he overpowers him in speech. I guess he had a better control of the language than his brother did. And one more thing I want to point out about the Miami, and I'd love for you to share your thoughts as well. is that when you read the last of those three ayahs I just read, you read the last one, it says that David gathered, Daoud gathered, that we had tried him. And said, Daoud asked forgiveness of his Lord, fell down, bowing in prostration, and turned to God in repentance. So now, even though in repentance is in parentheses, we still see something going on here. The question may come to your mind, why would David bow down in repentance? What happened? Why would David bow down in repentance? He had already served the purpose for them coming to him. But then he realizes something. So this story is not so much pointing to the two brothers who were in dispute. It's really addressing the problem that David had. There was something bothering David's conscience. And when you tie this in with the story of David in the Bible, it is directing attention to that what the one brother was trying to do to overpower the other brother, David had actually committed that sin himself. Points you back to the story in the Bible, to where David seeing Bathsheba taking the bath. And she was very beautiful. And he wanted her. David wanted Bathsheba the same as the big brother. I say big. The big brother wanted the one ewe of his other brother. And the Bible story says that David said, they said, well, who is she? She said, well, she's married to your general. And the Bible story continues, and I'm paraphrasing. David said, put him on the front line of the battle. And anybody knows in any situation, you never put your general on the front line. You put the foot soldier on the front line. You put the horseman on the front line. You don't put your general on the front line. He already has served his time on the front line. That's how he got to be general. But David wanted to make sure that he would be killed in battle so he could go and take Bathsheba. And Bathsheba is symbolic of that single sheep, or that single ewe. So when, after David had resolved their dispute, then it came crushing down on him, oh my goodness, I committed the same sin. I committed the same sin. So it gets going one step further in verse 25. Allah says, so we forgave him. We forgave him. Yes, that's what Allah says. It says, forgotfulna lahu dhalika. And it said, in that we are indeed, that Allah is really indeed. And again, that I'm paraphrasing. So, Brother Malayman, I'd like to hear your comments on it, because this verse here is really, the verse in the Quran is correcting an image that we are left with about David in our mind, that David, though he may have slew Goliath and all this and that, you know, now here he is, he didn't send his general to the front line just to take his wife. That's a bad message to leave in the minds of believers about the role of a prophet.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
You have any thoughts?
Yeah. I like what you said about this story. Really has more to do with the two brothers who were arguing over, you know, how many sheep they were to have. But it's a message here, and it's a few things. And one of the things is that comes out of this, Allah will allow circumstances to pop up in your life, and you find yourself in the situations to bring out of you what's in you, to bring out of you what's in you so you can see yourself better.
Mm-hmm.
And once you see yourself better, you have to do what David did. You have to repent. You have to bow down. You have to make sajda. You have to prostrate. You have to turn to Allah and ask for forgiveness, because Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. You know, and I was thinking about another situation too, and it just slipped my mind. It'll come back to me later. But that's one thing to really get out of that. I get out of that. And then reading the footnotes by Abdullah Yusuf Ali in that particular verse, you know, he brought out the fact that this man had 99 sheep and his brother had one. And on the surface, it looks like the brother was just taking, being greedy and taking that one from him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the brother was complaining about. He said, look, this man got 99. I only got one. He's trying to take my one.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, from the other side of the story, you know, of the understanding of this, is that maybe, and in footnotes you can read that, Abdul Yusuf Ali, maybe the guy who had one could give it to the guy who had 99, they didn't have 100, and then maybe the guy was going to take care of his one better than he was taking care of the one, you know, and making a big decision, a big business, a beautiful business out of it. Now, the thing about it, and this is what it's addressing to, business, because that's what David said, partners in business, you know. But the thing is that David jumped to conclusions. Daoud, you know, peace be upon him, jumped to conclusions and started condemning the brother with the 100, with the 100 sheep. And then he realized that he had made a mistake, and he repented for it. So that's why I said sometime Allah will allow circumstances to come in your life, and that circumstances and whatever that little thing is, it's really to bring out of us what's in us so we can better see ourselves. Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Man, going back to Suleiman, when he asked for the throne of Saba, when he asked for the throne, you know, the jinn, the ifrit of the jinn, and the one who had knowledge of the book, that I can bring it to you within the twinkling of an eye and all of this. But before Solomon moved on it, he said, This is a test. This is a trial from my Lord to see whether I'm grateful or ungrateful. Okay, so we're dealing with the same thing here in this spirit, you know, this spirit of consciousness that brings to our mind that when we see that we're wrong, we want to repent. We don't want to go forward with it. We want to stop and turn ourselves to the Creator and ask for forgiveness. And so we can live again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. So that's from the comment of Yusuf Ali. Yes.
Yes.
And the word comes to my mind, and I go back to what I said before, that the real complaint was that the one brother was dominating the conversation.
Yes, that too.
He was dominating. He had a control over the language. Not only did he want my sheep, he talked bad to me. He talked down to me. He had control over the language environment.
That's a point there. That's a good point. That's what people
do. He had control because just real quickly here.
Yeah.
It's also speaking about the right for a person to be free in a democracy. That you cannot come into my house.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come into my mind. You can't come into my soul and dominate me. You don't have that right.
Yeah.
You don't have the right to even though you may have more knowledge than me, you may have more influence. You got, okay, not only was so his brother was had more money or influence, because he had 99 to his one. So there was an imbalance there. There was another imbalance you just mentioned just a second ago, and his demand or command of the language. But David said, he gave the right judgment. He said he is wrong to try to take away from you your democratic right to be an individual. That's my way of saying it, that your brother cannot dominate you. And that's I call in Islam, that's the call in any democracy, though you may have the power and the influence, you cannot walk over and mistreat, talk bad to, control the language environment of those around you. You have to let each person be the person that God meant for them to be without trying to be the big brother dominating over the other. David said he was wrong for doing that.
Yeah.
But David, yes, alhamdulillah. Yeah. But,
well,
go ahead.
You made me think of something, though. You know, if you think back and reflect, man, all throughout our community, we've had salesmen come in and dominate us with their language. You know, they throw that language on you, whoop you up with that language, man, and next thing you know, you can sign the contract, got a big balloon payment at the end of it, and you can't pay it, and they take your house. So we've seen this throughout business. Yeah.
Yeah, but not only that, but Titians did the same thing.
Same thing.
Educators done and doing the same thing. And preachers of religion are doing the same thing.
Yeah, there you go.
And they have to leave the common man, the common woman alone, and trust them to be accountable and responsible for themselves. But let's go ahead and get into our conversation because the time is really moving on. And I wanted to bring on, today, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Brother Imam Ibamis Fahad Muhammad. He's the resident Imam in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I'm hoping that everyone can hear me.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Alhamdulillah. Again, greetings to everyone. Thank you all for having us here. It's an honor and it's a pleasure to be with y'all and listening to the conversation and the wisdom that you all are giving concerning the Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
Again, thank you all for having us.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, sir. Yeah, before we get into our conversation, do you have any reflection on what we just read from the Quran?
Yes, I was following along with you all, and you know, what I was looking at as I was following along is what came after this dialogue, if you will, between these two brothers and David or Dawood in regards to him making the decision. And shortly after, and this, I believe this goes back to what you were saying as well, Imam Sahir. Shortly after Allah says that he forgave David, it says that that they made David, they established David as a khalifa in the earth, that David is established as a khalifa in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know also in another portion of the Quran concerning this expression of khalifa, God says in the Quran, he is the one that establish you all as khalifas in the earth. Huwallathi ja'alakum khalaifa fil ard. That's what Allah says in the Quran, that he established you all khalifas in the earth. So one thing that I got from this is that, one, that the khalifa is not to be seen in the role of one person. And that we know, we get that understanding from our imam. He's lectured extensively on the role of khalifa, but also it lets us know that the role of khalifa is supposed to be seen in all of us, And what I get mm-hmm. from that is that we all have the responsibility, not just one person. We shouldn't just see that one person as being a khalifa or a leader or a ruler in our life, because what happened is just what happened here between the two brothers. You give one person too much power. Now you give that person that authority. Now he has 99 and he wants your one. Well, you help set him up in there by giving him that authority. So you gave him that mm-hmm. authority. Now he has 99 and now he wants your one that you have, because he's really looking at it like you're not managing the one that you have properly. You're not responsible enough for your one. It's just like when the Pens came here, the English came here, and they had this concept, this idea of manifest destiny. And they said, well, look at what these savages are doing with this land here. They're not managing this right. It's divine ordinance that we take over everything from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic as manifest destiny. They got one. We got 99. They're not managing it right. Let's take it. And that's what they did. The English came over and they took it. The English and French and the Spanish, et cetera, they took it. So, but part of that also is because on our end, we have a misconception in believing that we are supposed to have one person be responsible for managing our life. And that's not the case. Allah wants us to see that we all have a share in that responsibility of managing our life. This is why I believe that Allah has said in the Quran that he established us all khalifa, because we all have a role in maintaining our human life. It is not supposed to be given to just one person. Lastly, and I'll end with this because I don't want to talk too much here, but I believe that this is why Allah says in the Quran concerning Muhammad that he is not the father of any of you all, because I believe they did this with our prophet Muhammad, and they did this with our imam, W.D. Muhammad. Everyone wants to look at that person as the one that is responsible for managing their personal affairs in their lives, and that's not right. That's not right. That's wrong. You know, I believe they did it with Muhammad the Prophet, you know, and I believe they did it with so many of our other leaders. You know, African-Americans, we have a tendency to want to have someone in our lives to manage our life like a Superman.
Yeah, you know? A great savior.
Yeah, we want to have a great savior, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I believe this is Allah teaching us that we all have that responsibility of maintaining our own lives and managing our own lives and managing our own affairs. So I thought that was beautiful. I really thought that was beautiful what y'all were sharing.
Alhamdulillah. Anyway, thank you, because what you shared is beautiful as well. And that's the beauty of the Quran, is that it is forever revealing itself. There will not be a new body of revelation, but the revelation we have is so potent and pregnant with much more that each generation will get more from it, because it is light years ahead of us. And it's light years ahead of, and I don't mean so much light years as far as time on the clock, but I'm talking about light for us, knowledge, the enlightenment. The Quran is light years ahead of us. And so we have to be very mindful of that. Our salvation in this is that we be sincere, that our intentions be pure, and that we constantly, you don't stop, constantly ask Allah for his guidance. Ask Allah constantly to increase us his knowledge. And we say often, Rabbi Zidni Ilma, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. And that's a dua that many Muslims make very often, because knowledge is continually growing and expanding, and the words of the Quran are continually growing and expanding. So, alhamdulillah. Let's get into our conversation. And I titled it, and the title is not anything sacred, but it just for the words that came to my mind, to my thinking. The title is, Are You Enslaved to a Language Environment? Are you enslaved to a language environment? And I'll begin by saying this here. You know, after President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on the January 1st, 1860, the next phase of freedom for us as Africans in America, later to become African-Americans, the next phase for of freedom was our gaining and securing our freedom from a slave language. We know about the slave plantation, but there's also a slave language. So after our physical freedom, we have to work on the next phase. Now, slavery in America, it never ended. That's an important point for us to remember. And people would hear that, and they say, what do you mean slavery never ended? You just read said that Lincoln signed, he issued the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, but slavery in America never ended. It just transferred to other shapes. It transferred to other phases. And if you listen closely to the wording of the opening words, all you need, the opening words of the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, then you will see that slavery never ended. It says, quote, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except. You hear that word right there, except? You know what except means, don't you? It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime. And it goes on. So when you put the word except in there, they're letting us know that slavery was only ending in the form that had been dominant in the society before this 13th Amendment. The slavery in this society was going to continue in a different shape, in a different form. And our focus today is on a form of slavery that's not talked about very often, and that is slavery in the language, slavery in the words. That's why I like that verse we just read, that the one brother had a domination over the speech. He had a domination over his brother. And so and we find that today in our society, that there is language that is still dominating in our lives. So when physical slavery ended, mental slavery continued. And some will say it still continues. So our discussion today would be on that mental phase of slavery that continues to plague our people in our society. And the question is, are you a victim or are you a slave on a language plantation? So we're going to look at the word emancipation. That's the big word, right? And in the phrase Emancipation Proclamation. We know what a proclamation means, right? Lincoln, he just proclaimed something. But the key word here is emancipation. And when you look very closely at that word emancipation, the root of the word is emancipate. The E in the front, that prefix E, is really is like saying EX, like X, or no longer, like a ex-convict. Okay? Right. So emancipate is really saying it's property that can be transferred. It's property that can be transferred. And it was not, at that time, it wasn't applying to the slave per se. It was really referring to the son in the family or the wife of the husband. But they adopted it into, well, Abraham Lincoln, or that time period, they adopted that word. And now we use the phrase Emancipation Proclamation, and we celebrate it every January 1st around the country. But we've taken time to look into the word emancipation. Because just looking further into the word emancipation, and what I'm saying to you, you can go get it from any etymology book. This is nothing that I'm coming up with. I'm just reading what they are saying. So emancipation is saying to set free from control. That's what it's saying. You have control over it, because even in the word emancipate, do you see that word man in there, M-A-N?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what their dictionary says about that word man. It says the word man is referring to manus, M-A-N-U-S. M-A-N-U-S. You got that? This is important that we get this. In the word emancipation, the word man, they say it is referring to manus, and they say manus means the hand. The hand.
Hmm.
And I said, well, that makes sense, because what does the Quran say about the one who has control? It says what the right hand possesses. I hope that I can see this connection. This manus hand is saying the hand that has control over something else or somebody else. But emancipation was when the son came of age and the father says, the father said to the son, you're free to go. Or it also refers to the wife, because the husband had control over the wife. That's where it came from. So that when we look at Lincoln signing this paper, what was he really saying to us? What was this document really saying? Why did they choose that language? And why does this language still continue? And they're saying what they were proclaiming, that they're going to let us take care of our single youth. That's what they're trying to say to us, right? But but has that happened? Has that taken place? So I just wanted just to say that from the beginning, because we're going to look at slavery not from the point of physical slavery, but from the perspective of mental slavery, and which can also tie into spiritual slavery. So just want to just say this here. When it comes to our language environment, if we get the proper language, it will give you salvation. But if society is feeding us improper language, it will enslave you on a mental plantation. And one distinguishing point between the two is determined by who is the master of the language being spoken. Who controls the language being spoken in a society? So, Brother Miles, do you have any comments, please?
Well, you know, there are a number of things that was coming to my mind as you was giving this beautiful information here. One of the things that came to my mind was this biblical reference of this animal, cockatrice, if you will. And we know Ari Mao spoke about this, so I don't want to go too much into detail about this. But the bottom line is that it became a flying cockatrice. And it makes reference to an entity or a creature being the what they call the prince of the air, or being able to control what is in the air. And communication or language for us now has changed over the years. It's changed dramatically. You know, when we started off in this country, much of our communication and language was done by way of face-to-face communication, verbal communication. And then from that, it went to, you know, a very crude, rudimentary type of print material. where you have the publications of pamphlets and books and things of that nature. And then later on in the age that I'm in and the rest of us are in, much of our communication is largely in print, but not as much in print. Now, much of our communication is through the air. You know, we are texting, we're tweeting, we're Facebooking, we're, you know, Twittering, and everything is, you know, email, et cetera. But the reality is that we largely don't have any type of control of that or any type of management of that. We just operate in that, you know, in terms of our communication. And, you know, Allah knows all things. And so when you have this language, when you have this language that is out there, or this form of communication out there, and this ability to change the meanings of words and terminologies and expressions, we don't have that. But those who are the orchestrators of that, those who are the masters of that language, they really are the ones who control the narrative and can control the narrative and have controlled the narrative. And so,
let me ask you a question on that thought. Excuse me for interrupting, but on that thought, we'll make sure we're getting clear on this. This figure is a symbolic figure, we know, of this cottage. And that's you could go read that for yourself in the Bible. It's supposed to be part rooster, part snake, and all that. Anyway, but it became flying. It became prince of the air. Now the word prince, we say for, in Arabic, amir. But in amir, a prince, they have control. We going back to we can see the word control. The word control keep coming back to the conversation. So if they are prince of the air, they are controlling the air. And I remember before Imam Muhammad was saying, that's what they were saying on TV, that they are on air when they begin broadcasting. They are on air. But they are sending out a language. They're sending out a message that has control over the minds of the people. So I just wanted just to bring it out, but this flying cockatrice is a sign or a symbol of Satan.
And so Satan
becomes the prince of the air. Go ahead.
And has controlled and manipulated people by way of that communication. Now, essentially what language is communication. What it is knowledge. It's knowledge contained in symbols, or structures. You know, language at first was not written like we have it now. It used to be picture language. But the point is that it communicated some type of knowledge to us. And so this is what makes revelation important. And this is also what makes revelation one of those things that the architects or builders of this world's language or communication wants to downplay, wants to make it insignificant, wants to make it wants to befuddle it in myth and mix it up and confuse it and present it as myth so that it's not understood. Revelation, the language, is specifically the Quran. You know, we'll focus specifically on the Quran. The Quran is revelation. Okay? That's the first thing. The Quran is revelation. And it's revelation because it's revealing. It informs us. It gives us a knowledge base of things that we didn't have a knowledge base of before. And so the purpose of revelation, or one of the purposes of revelation, is exactly what Allah says of Muhammad in the Quran. He came... Allah says in the Quran of Muhammad that he came teaching them, purifying them, and educating them in scripture and wisdom. That's exactly what Allah says in the Quran. And so this is what revelation is for us. It's teaching us.
But but you're saying, not directly, there's knowledge, but then there's incorrect knowledge too.
Absolutely.
And I think
there's logic.
Yeah,
and then
you mentioned the word myth.
Well.
You mentioned the word myth. Yeah, but I just want to just be more specific, because if Satan is the prince of the air, and he controls the airways, then he's not putting out the truth. So in our environment, there's good knowledge that would free us, and there's bad knowledge that would enslave us.
Well, here's one of the things, unfortunately, of the Satan. The Satan will put out, what he'll do is he'll put out falsehood, but he'll put out a little bit of truth also. And he'll put out falsehood as well. He'll mix it up. This is largely what our culture has done. It's like in the story, this biblical story of this tree of good and evil. This is in the Bible. This is in Genesis. This tree of good and evil that bears fruit. You know, that strategy is that if people know truth, well, you put the truth out there also to get ahead of the game, and then you put what you want to put in there, and that's the falsehood. And so once the Satan with his language, or the world's language, can put out a truth and get you to accept it, then the Satan can interject what he wants or what it wants for you to accept, and now you're in the habit of saying yes. Once you're in the habit of saying yes, once you're in the habit of saying yes, now you're in the habit. And so, you know, the Satan says 1 + 1 = 2. Yes, the sky is blue. Yes, grass is green. Yes, the devil is your Lord. Yes, now you're in a habit. You don't recognize it because now you're in a habit. You see? And so that's how the Satan's language works. And
yes, sir.
This is not something that a dumb imbecile is responsible for. Allah knows this. Allah knows the strategy of the Satan. Allah knows the Satan, the strategy of the Satan. And so the Quran is that. The Quran is a language environment for us. And it's a language environment to free us. It's a language environment to break the grips and to break the rule of the Satan, not only in our personal lives, but our group life as well. In fact, the word surah, and I'm sure you know this, Brother Imam, the word surah itself means a containment. The word surah itself means a fence, a containment, a language environment. And so Allah has revealed this Quran, and when it was revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, it disrupted the rule of all of these people at that time, and has just disrupted their rule ever since. And so we have in that Quran, you know, that revelation that changes the language for us.
Well, yes, sir. Imam, anything you want to add? We have a couple of calls we will get to, but I want to ask you, Imam, anything you want to add to this conversation? Okay.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. Get to the caller first, and I'll come back.
Yes, sir. We take our first caller. This caller from 510 area code. Thank you for calling. Worth many people calling from 510. Can you give us your city, your first name, please, and your question and comment? 510-373. You have a question and comment for us? Okay.
I know what I was going to say.
Okay, we go to our next. Okay, this the next one is from 414. This is a Milwaukee number. 414. Thanks for calling, Worth My People. You have a question or comment for us?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Can you give us your first name? give us your first name and city, please.
Jeffrey O'Neill, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Alhamdulillah.
We don't have to keep accepting the slave language or the so-called slave master's language. Let's make up our own language. Go back to the brothers with the sheep. Why couldn't a brother with the 99 sheep give his brother one male sheep so his other brother could start his own flock? We have to be more generous.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah, thank you very much. That is a very excellent
point. But the other point I want to make with my man Fahad.
Yes, sir. I saw that from Brother Jeffrey.
You keep saying yeah. You say yeah three times, but you got to be listening to know when to say no. I don't know. I have a faith in the humanity, yeah. I guess.
You're right.
Yes,
you know, you're right. You're right, Brother Jeffrey. And this is why our declaration for us in Islam starts with no. It starts with a negative. It starts with no. La ilaha illallah. No God except Allah. Because that's the strategy. That's the foundation of our strategy of breaking the habit of saying yes, 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 yes. That's the habit right there. You got to stop saying yes to every single thing and be able to say no, no. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a critical look at this. But we know most people, unfortunately, and psychology shows us this, that we're creatures of habit. You know, we're creatures of habit. You know, so once we get in the habit, and we like consistency. We like consistency, and we're creatures of habit. So once we get in the habit of things, unless we have a critical mind or a critical eye, we operate in that same venue. So you're right. We do have to stop saying yes to everything.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah. You know, how to say this here. The question I'm going to put on the table now is, do we master our language, or is the language mastering us? I think we need to talk about that. Because a lot of times we don't realize that we are being influenced by language, that we are being controlled by language. As you say, we get in the habit of saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
You know, then that can be a problem. But I think he has something you wanted to say. Well, first of all, Brother Jeffrey, thank you for calling Working People.
That question you just asked is right on time for the statement I want to make. You know, I don't know if you all quoted it, but in the Bible, you know where it says the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, let us go down into the earth and confuse their language so they be a people no more. So they be a people no more. You see. And they control the language, you know, and see, the Quran helps us stay focused on the language of the Quran, and we look at everything differently, and we do say no. We checking everything out. And as soon as it comes, we say, wait a minute, let's check this out, you know, because the way they get you, they pull you into the language. For an example, you know, this is a very common one. What's up, dog? What's happening, dog? Hey, what's happening, dog? You know, I mean, if we don't be careful and check that, some brother might come up to you and say, "Assalamu alaikum, dog." You know? I'm saying
yes,
how you say we're creatures of habits, and we're so used to saying yes, 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 and agreeing and accepting all this stuff. You know, we have to check it. And that's how they start you with the language. They get you with the language. You know, you read the business agreement. It's a language there. You know, read the agreement, read the fine print. You know, it's a language there. You know, and if you don't look at the language, really look and see what it's saying, then you're gonna get trapped.
Well, let's take it a little bit further. Some of the main language that you call on this show today, maybe not in society, but on this show today, we're going to call slave language, is the language given to us for our religious understanding. And it was mentioned before by Imam Fahad, he mentioned it, but we all know this, that they know that, well, they have this phrase, a picture is better said than a thousand words. That's a common phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So they had given us an image of God, or the Son of God, in white flesh. We're talking about the slave language and the continuing mm-hmm. after. So see, we have to understand this here. The enslaved, or the former, the newly freed from being enslaved, and us, their children, we are obligated to question everything in the society that formerly cherished slavery. Does that make sense? She got a society that for centuries actually cherished, promoted, and defended slavery. When their physical slavery ended, then they still love, and many of them love, their system of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So now we, as the children of those who were enslaved, we have a serious obligation. It's not a lightweight pass by, maybe I will, maybe I won't. We don't have a maybe on this one. We have a serious obligation to question everything in the society that formerly developed and cherished physical slavery, and question everything and reject, not just question it, and when necessary, reject every residual of physical slavery, mental slavery, no matter how insignificant it may seem. We should be very much about the business of saying we got to put that under our magnifying glass. Don't even use their magnifying glass, because that may be tainted. In other words, don't see it through their vision. You know, so we have a serious obligation to, how else can we become the masters of our language?
Yes.
And I mean, just know, how can we control our sheep, if we don't know sheep language? I'm just making an example. The brother, he oppressed his brother because he dominated him in speech. And though physical slavery ended but still we were dominated by the language. And one of the biggest pictures of their language, as you said, they couldn't read before, and some can't read. We can read the ink on the page, but we can't read the message that's being conveyed from it. We can read every word and read every word correctly. We are not mispronounce a single word, but we don't comprehend what it's saying to us. And when we have people in politics that come to our neighborhood, and we still end up in the same condition, as a politician, they're saying that they're not speaking to us the right language. But the biggest one is in religion, when they paint a picture and say this is God and God's son. That is a big continuation of slave language that still dominates our society. So I yield. Anybody have any comments on that? Plus, I want to encourage our callers, if you have a question or comment, you can press 1 on your phone, and we will work you into our conversation. But any comments on that, on questioning everything and our obligation?
Well, I like what you said about the image, because, you know, it said a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
So that image, that purported image that they give us, of the Son of God, it's bringing a lot of messages of oppression to the mind, and it's coming up with all kind of things, it gives you it says a lot to your mind. That's what I'm trying to say, you know. We know it deals with superior attitudes. It deals with inferior attitudes. You know, it deals with savagery. You know, I mean, it paints a lot of pictures. And everything that they put in the movies, television, commercials, all of these things are speaking to your mind. and trying to get in your mind, like you said, get into your house, get into your home, your sacred mm-hmm. home. And they're trying to dominate your thinking so they can dominate your life. See, once they dominate your thinking, they dominate your life. You know, and
yes.
I'm down mm-hmm. here right now. I come here every Sunday. It's a place called the Mert Park in Los Angeles. And it's a place where African Americans come to purchase from the vendors down here. And they come because they like the vibe. They like the spirit and what have you. But what I'm noticing, and this is all over the country, they're really pushing this black thing heavy. Black, you know. You know, we've been very taught mm-hmm. well on these issues. We've done these issues where it's how they swing the pendulum both ways. One time they might swing toward white supremacy, and the other time they swing it toward black supremacy, you know. And, you know, just about everybody down here got the ankh on their chest, you know, and walking around with the Egyptian ankh on their chest, the cross, and they into this black thing, you know. And they'll even ask you in a minute, Juneteenth is next week. It's supposed to be a real big affair down here. So mm-hmm. they ask you in a minute on the application, are you black? So they take this black thing to the extreme, you know. And so I'm down here in the pool, you know, and I'm riding on the waves
yeah.
of the river here, and I'm having
yeah.
a chance to really talk with people. But I'm noticing that I'm the language. The language. It's all about the language.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, but even on that term black, you know, as you said, we've been well taught. We got to find a way
yes.
to communicate what we have been taught, because
that's right.
Race is so big and so dominant and so oppressive.
Yeah.
The conversation is based on skin color. You can't really do anything with anybody that's going to
yeah.
involve education, business, politics, without
yeah.
skin color being a factor, being a
yep.
problem. Who
yep.
who created the skin color as a problem? It was not us. It was not
no.
our people. But we
no.
being influenced by the threat.
We fall victim to it, I'm telling you.
Which? Huh?
I said we've fallen victim to it, you know.
It goes back to the question I asked before, and I want to
yeah.
leave it on the table.
Yeah.
Are we mastering the language of our society, or
yeah.
are we victims? Are we dust in the wind to where the,
yeah.
the influences of the language environment is containing us?
Yep.
And
right.
are we the master?
You know, I
yeah.
What is going to be the saving grace for us? And we're specifically now, I want to just look at the African American, black people, Negro, whichever term we want to use that suits us.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the saving grace for us is going to be this community, this body of Muslims that is in this leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
We just like the Quran says, Allah says this in the Quran, that Muhammad is a witness to the community, and the community will be a witness for the people. And I think that community that will be a witness for our people, I'm just, again, and just specifically referring to the African American, is going to be us, this community, because we have a new mind. We are a new creation. We are an independent thinking community that is not dependent on the language or the communication of the American society, and not even really, to be honest with you, not even the Islamic or the Muslim world. We read the Quran, and we are fed by the Quran, not by the political language or the political motivations that has plagued much of the Middle East or much of the West. not in these the racially charged, not in the racially charged language and atmosphere of the West, you know, including America and Europe and other parts that's under the Western control. We are fed by the Quran, and I believe that that is the way that Allah wants it. Allah wants us to be fed by His language, by His, essentially, as I said, language is knowledge, by what He has presented to us, by His revelation, and we establish our community and our people, our life benefits from it, because after all, we should know that the biggest victim, unfortunately, of the Satan, Shaitan, or the devil, the biggest victim is the African American, not the African.
Yes.
They second. The first victim, the biggest victim, is the African American. And so this language that
why are we the biggest victims?
It's because we have been tied up. We have been tied up and have been, I guess for lack of better words, this is what came to my mind. We've been fed the wrong foods. That's the old Nation of Islam language. We've been fed the wrong food by the Satan, by the devil. The food.
Harriet Tubman.
I'm sorry, what's that again?
I like Harriet Tubman. No, I like what Harriet Tubman said. She said,
what
"Yeah, I freed 300 slaves." Now Harriet Tubman said what? She said, "Yes, I freed 300 some slaves." She said, "I could have freed 1,000." But she had one problem,
right?
Okay.
Right.
She couldn't convince them that they were slaves. And so it's the same way today.
It's the same way today.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Same way.
Yeah, but you were making a point. But also, I wanted to look further. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm ready.
No, this is an important conversation. We need to dig further into it, if you can, as to why these things exist. You know, who has control over the language? This is going to take us away, but I think it's going to be still centered on this point here. I had this discussion Tuesday, and keep in mind, early in our conversation on the word emancipation, it was the husband freeing the son to go, the son, you're now emancipated, right? But also, according to this definition at that time, it says that the wife can also be set free. And so the question came to my mind, why is it that the male is doing all the setting free? Why is he having the control and not initially his son or his wife? Now, we're looking at language and how, you know, the biggest society will say a word, and we'll say the same word, but their definition and application is not the same. They'll be saying the same word. They'll say husband. We'll say husband, like a husband and wife, right? But for those who know the language, the word husband is really two words. H-U-S is really saying house, like the house you live in, house. The B-A-N-D is really like saying band or a bond, like a slave bond. So the husband, they realize that the man has control. That's why it's common in this society. In most societies, it may not happen, that the wife takes on the name of her new master. But they don't say master. They change the A in master to an I. But it's the same thing. When they sold our people in slavery to a new master, and we don't like that word slave master. We say slaveholder. Only Allah is the master. But anyway. The A and the I is the difference between master and mister, but the role and the application is the same because you take on the name of your new master. And the wife takes on the name of her new master called husband. Now, I asked a question to the people. I said, what is the name of the lady who became the first African-American millionaire for making hair products? What is her name? And what do everybody say? What's the answer? They say, Madam C.J. Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I asked again. I said, no, ain't what I asked you. That's the wrong answer. I said, what is her name? They can say, well, everybody know her name is Madam C.J. Walker. No, no, no. C.J. Walker is Charles Walker. That's her husband.
Uh-huh.
They didn't recognize her having a name. She was the Madam of a man named Charles Walker.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, we still use the name. Her name was Sarah. That's her name. She was born Sarah Breedlove. But when she married Charles Walker, she became Madam C.J. Walker because the husband, the house band, the house slaves, he has control. So we are using language. We'll say something like Jiminy Cricket, and we go on about, but Jiminy Cricket is really saying Jesus Christ. So we are using language, and we don't even know where it came from. If you don't know where it came from, we don't know where it's going to. So we become a victim of language we use every day, saying things on a lower level. But those who defend the air know it on a higher level. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can I clear something?
I got about two or three callers on hold, so callers, please be patient. Go ahead, please.
Okay, yes.
Go ahead. Who's the Imam Fahad or was the Imam Miami?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, I thought we were going to wait for calls, but I just wanted to clear up something concerning language, just so that we don't have any confusion. When we say language, I believe, at least in my mind, when we say language, I'm not thinking of only word print, words that you see on a piece of paper. That's not what I mean by language. When I say language, I don't necessarily think of American English, Spanish, Urdu, Pakistani, et cetera. When we say language, we're talking about anything that communicates some type of knowledge, some type of image, or some type of print, or anything that conveys knowledge that feeds us by way of our senses. We have five senses. We know smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, et cetera. Anything that comes to us by way of those senses is language. So when we see the sun and something registers to us, that's language. When we see a tree, I'm sitting outside in front of this tree right now, that tree is communicating to me. That's language. And so this is we have the expression, this is why we have the expression universe. That's the whole system that we live in, but it's conveying one body of knowledge, universe. And so everything in this material creation is language for us. Is language for us. And so how was the Satan able to get us? The Satan was able to get in between that natural communication to our senses and interject what he wants for us to our senses. That's how the Satan does it.
Yes, sir.
How, again, does the Satan get us? He occupies our time. He occupies our time. He has us so tied up, so wrapped up in everything in society that we don't have any time to give any thought. We just got to work. We work. We're not working 5 hours a day. We're working 8, 10, 12, 16 hours a day. Not just one job. We got 3, 4, and 5 jobs with no benefits. That's what the Satan does. He occupies the time. Once he can do that, he got you. He got you. And so most of us African-Americans, we tie it up. The Satan has tied us up. He's occupied. If we're not occupied by work, we're occupied by the entertainment, world. That's how it gets us. Occupied by work. For example, here in the city of Milwaukee, one of the most impoverished area code areas is the 53206 area. is the area in the city of Milwaukee that has the highest amount of poverty. But if you look at the data, data shows that most of the people in that 53206 area code have work. They work in it. They employed. These people are not lazy. They're working. But unfortunately, they got overworked. Two, three, sometimes four jobs, all part-time jobs, no benefits, you know. And and that's how the state does it, occupies us. So I just wanted to make sure I definitely clear that up.
Yes, sir. Well, let me skip some of these callers here because I'm trying to get everybody in. I'll see if we get it to line up, which is good. This is what we want to have. This is very important for us. So we go to our first caller here, our next caller, I should just say, our next caller from 910. Every code, can you give us your first name, the city, and your question or brief comment? I'll say a brief comment. Go ahead, please. 910.
Assalamu alaikum.
527. Can you give us your first name, the city?
Yes, Mustafa calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we don't want to languish in the language. And you was talking earlier about January 1st, 1860, the so-called Emancipation Proclamation, and you gave some details on that. And I just want to briefly say that on average, over 17 times a day that we recite the Al-Fatiha. And within the Al-Fatiha is our true emancipation proclamation. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. If we really, truly are seeking this freedom, this emancipation, Allah, you alone and only do we worship, and Allah, you and alone only do we seek for help or assistance. And that's how we'll be able to rise above whatever the shaitan puts out as a trap.
Mm-hmm.
One individual was talking about the black. What do you think is keeping us occupied with this blackness? It's not the natural human being. It is the work of the shaitan. And many of us, not on this program necessarily, but many have gotten caught up in this color-conscious society, this Crayola mentality that we help perpetuate by using that language, white supremacy. Why are you saying white supremacy? They are racist. They are Caucasian races, if you want to call it correctly. Only Allah is supreme. I think you said we don't use the term, master? Slave master.
Slave holder.
You say slave holder. And this is the type of thing that we, you know, only a conscious Muslim. We just can't be a proper Muslim. We have to be a conscious Muslim. It's not just the miseducation of the Negro, like Carter G. Woodson said. It's also the miseducation of the Muslim. And I agree 100% with one individual. I just want to make one last comment. I agree 100% with what I don't know who the individual was, but he said what we have been blessed with through the leadership of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, may Allah forgive him in sins and grant him the highest station in paradise, is that he has blessed us to be independent thinkers.
Yes,
and I'll conclude on that.
Plantation.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Brother Mustafa. We have two emails have a fast comment on what our brother said. He said a lot. I mean, I was writing down notes when he was talking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he hit right on it. I mean, you know.
Yes, right.
What else could you say? What I mean, you know, I mean. He's right to the point. I mean, you know, and he's just reflecting just about everything we've been talking about, you know. And so he just brought it right on home. So praise be to Allah. I thank Allah for that brother and others like him around this country. And I look like we're going to be in good shape.
Yes, sir.
Allah.
Inshallah. Yeah, like you said, the language in the language, that's important. And the Fatiha is our proclamation. Because that's what we're doing. We are proclaiming. Alhamdulillah. And then for how anything you want to say before we go to our next caller? What about this here?
Yes. I do want to hopefully try to make an appeal if I can. In regards to the Muslims that are, especially in this association with our Imam, W.D. Muhammad, and just Muslims in general, please let the Quran be the language that influences our life. And please let the Quran, let Allah teach you that Quran. Because Allah says this in the Quran. He teaches you himself. That's what Allah says in more than one place. What I've seen is that people have gone to schools, universities, teachers, etc., and many others are teaching the Quran in the way that they think that they should teach the Quran. And there are a lot of things that are being taught about it that are incorrect. I would just ask that people, rethink the Quran and reapproach it and study it and let the Quran teach us. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Because one thing I want to say, I want to say two things. First of all, I think our brother Mustafa, he's a kind caller I like. When you say, can you keep it succinct? Not only did he keep it succinct, he had it potent. But so that's a example for my next, I got about five callers here, if I can get them in. Just be succinct and don't be long-winded because we don't have time. I'm not trying to be cold. I'm just being the engineer. I'm being the engineer as well as the host. So let us do that. But I want to say this real quickly here, too. That's the host. We didn't leave the bad influences or dissatisfied influences. For example, somebody said, well, why you leave the church and all that? Why did you change your name? And we didn't choose a new religion and a new name just to be a slave over here in Islam. And there's too many African-Americans that came to Islam who didn't get the benefit of the language transition that Imam Muhammad brought us through, and just as big or a bigger slave, talking about assalamu alaikum, imitating somebody from overseas, than what we were sitting up there picking up on the slave master's religion and Christianity. So we're not going to come over here. And we, as I think we said earlier, we were made into a brand new people. So we're going to move on down the line to our next caller. This caller here, I know this number here. This caller here is from 213-925, my brother. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. From L.A.
Yeah, Wale.
You have a question or comment, please?
Got a comment. Imam Muhammad, years ago, kind of like really for me, opened up some ideas. He did a talk called The History of the Jacobite. The History of the Jacobite.
Mm-hmm.
And, we don't use that term a lot now, but it's the early days. And he says that the Bible, Imam said that the Bible is the greatest tool of war against the Gentiles. The Bible was the greatest tool of war, against the Gentiles. You know, it has in there that all their wealth and their princes and kings shall lay their wealth at our feet, talking about, a Jew. And all their wealth and all their everything should bow down to them and everything. In other words, so the Imam called it the greatest tool of war against the Gentiles. And, in other words, if they read that and if they believe that, they should just surrender right there. Surrender. You know what I mean? So the word environment, I think, came from the Bible. The word environment that is oppressive to us, it originates in the Bible, and it was written to favor them, favor the rulers, the people who were knowledgeable of the scripture. So I just wanted to add that, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, no, thank you. And I just want to get your own back. because I know it's very important that we make a clear distinction. The way Imam Muhammad, he coined that term Jacobite, and he gave us an explanation to what it means. But I can say it, well, I will take and say it this way. He said it's also referring to those amongst the Jewish people that were not respectful of the way of God. And he was very careful to say it's not referring to all Jewish people. You know, Jesus was a Jew, and he contended with Jews. So we want to make a distinction, because there's good and bad in all people. But with that said, if I get a piece of paper and go find this documentary, but make sure you get the original documentary. This documentary is titled, you can find it on YouTube. It's titled Hollywoodism. Hollywoodism. It says Jews, Movies, and the American Dream. And it gives you some insight. Now, this documentary was put together by Jewish people. And long story short, that they were showing how that they got control of, through Hollywood, that the Jews were able to create the American Dream, because they put their Jewish values throughout all the TV shows. And they show you in the documentary, they show you Ma and Paul Kettle. They show you Shirley Temple. They show you all these people and how these creators of Hollywood put Jewish values into these movies. And then the American people went to the movies.
What was the name of that movie?
It's called Hollywoodism. You know, it's a documentary. It's called Hollywoodism. Hollywoodism. Then it has colon, Hollywoodism colon. Then it says Jews, Movies, and the American Dream. But they were showing how they put their Jewish values, and they're not saying good or bad values, but they were just saying that they put their values into the Hollywood scene. And in time, the American people going to the theaters and just consuming, 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 as you said, saying yes, 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 consuming, consuming, consuming. But they, and over the time period, they incorporated Jewish values into the American society and made the American Dream through Hollywood. So, alhamdulillah. Let's go
that's
down.
Another
oh, thank
example.
You, brother. I mean,
that's another example. That's another example of the oppressive language that we're talking about. You know, those all
yes,
those movies, you put you
yes,
into a language
question.
Environment. You say put you into a language
mm-hmm.
environment, got you living a lifestyle that you don't even know where it came from, which is an artificial lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're a slave. And like your brother said in Emphatiha, you do we worship, you do we serve, you do we work for. You know. With that's and you and
yes.
your aid we seek. That is our liberation. That you know, praise be to Allah. That's beautiful.
Yes, sir. You know, and the modern slaveholder, which is the holding of mentalities and thinking, that the oppressive slaveholder of today would give more opportunities for the former physical slaves to express themselves as long as the slaveholder is hearing his language coming from their mouth. You know, in other words, you know, these are safe Negroes. They are still using my language. You know, I have control of the language. I'm mastering the language, and they're using it every day, so I know everything's cool. They ain't going to cause me no problems. So when we speak in our political or social and religious conversations, okay, if that language is full of the language of the dominant society, then most likely we are victim of a language environment, because we are still using their terms, their terminology, their expressions. So we have to question everything, and especially our religious conversations. I don't care if you're Muslim or Jew or Christian. And she got someone else's definitions, interpretations and expressions, then you use in a language, but you are really just perpetuating their thinking. And so why is the language, the environment, or religion the most serious concern? because the oppressor knows that if his language and definition is in a religious language, then he or she not only is the master of our mind, they will also master our soul. So, yes, sir, Brother Menfahad. You want to say something?
And so, I was going to just add that this is largely why many of us who study the Quran and want to be more familiar mm-hmm. with the language of the Quran have a difficult time getting out of the Quran what Allah wants for us to get out of the Quran, because we are seeing the Quran through the language of someone else
mm-hmm.
and not seeing the Quran the way that Allah wants us to see it. We are trying to explain the Quran mm-hmm. by using the language and the expressions and the definitions and the meanings that we got from our American English mm-hmm. language, and it causes a problem for us to even see what Allah is saying for us, even in the Quran. And there are so many words that I could give examples of, but I believe that that is the truth.
Well, let me give one facts example. We got some more callers. Callers, please be patient.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie that gave us a clear indication of, they all give us clear indications, but we don't think outside the box or the locks, LOCKS. We don't think outside the locks. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
right.
this movie here, we're very familiar with this movie, and there's one key scene in this movie I'm going to highlight. The movie, it was called The Wiz, the African-American version of Oz.
Yes.
And in this movie, the wizard ended up being Richard Pryor. We just tell you all off the top, the whole thing is a joke, right? But anyway, now, Richard Pryor is the Wiz. And all the people were down there dancing in this courtyard. They all were wearing silver glitter. The man had on the man's suits, the hat, the lady's dress. It was all like aluminum foil.
Mm.
And Richard, well, the wizard, he would come on and say, "The great Oz is here." And they would say, "Yes." And the Oz would say, "The color is green." And what the wizard did, he just took out the one light bulb and put in a green light bulb. Why? Everyone's wearing aluminum foil, wearing silver glitter. So he turned the green light on, and then they said, "Oh, he was right. He was right. The color's green." And then they would dance. They would dance like in a trance. And then he said, "Come on again." The Oz is spoken. He said, "The color now is red." And he just changed the green light bulb, put in the red light bulb. And they say, "Oh man, he's powerful, man. He is the boss."
That's how.
Huh?
No, I said that's how they control. And, the
but they were dancing.
I mean, that's how they control the people.
That's right. Yes. So we got to come out of that. Let me get to my next caller here. Yeah, I thank my call for being patient. We're gonna try and get everybody in. I'm making no promises. So keep your questions and comments very succinct, and we appreciate that. This is caller from 321. Caller from 321, can you give us your first name and city and your question or quick comment?
Yes, DeLacy from Melbourne, Florida. I'm
enjoying it. My brother.
Yes, sir. And, I just was listening at the imam earlier talking about our new identity as African Americans here, and Professor Rabbani and I were talking and responding to a question from a sister, and Professor Rabbani mentioned, he said, we are the new African American, and I thought about that for a while, and I really set up a Facebook page with that title, The New African American. And I thought we need to have a distinct identity that identifies us as different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a new language, a new mind, and our Imam Rahim Allah Lake say we are a new people on this planet. So we should identify ourselves so that when we are speaking, people know that this is a new mind that's speaking. So we want to publicize that idea that there is a new intelligence in intellect that's working in the society, and that's worth listening
yes,
to.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I'll just stop right there, Charles.
Yes, sir. Now, where
the
I let me add one thing too, you gave a very beautiful expression of us as a new people. The only thing I can add to it, if you allow me to, is that the mm-hmm. birth of this new people was a virgin birth.
Yes, sir.
It didn't come through the agency of another man or another man.
Yeah.
It came from God himself.
That's
God Allah
that's
himself. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Amen. Or Imam Fahab, him comment on what our brother DeLacy shared
with us? Like what you just said, you just capped it off. You said you're a virgin birth. You didn't have, you know, no man's mind or woman's mind produced us. You know, God's word produced
right.
us. And the more we get familiar with that word, the more beautiful things we will be able to see and do from that perception, from that perspective. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
I want to add that, and I've said this before, but I have to express it as much as I can, that I'm really honored. Personally, I'm really honored and humbled to be in the presence of Muslims like you all, yourselves, who went through that first experience and came under or into the leadership of our Imam W.D. Muhammad. And the reason why I'm saying that is because as generations have gone on, like my generation, you know, people who are in their 40s or younger, 30s and 20s, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
people see Imam Muhammad, and they value Imam Muhammad for what he has, but they don't value him and see his importance to the development
mm-hmm.
of our community the way that they should. I've seen that go down and diminish as each generation goes on. Some keep it, some retain it, some grow into it, but many of us are slowly losing it because we see so many other people, teachers and leaders
mm-hmm.
and people with a language that fascinates us, and we
mm-hmm.
want to dibble dabble
mm-hmm.
into that. And the language that we got
yeah.
from our Imam
mm-hmm.
W.D. Muhammad, the language that we got from our Imam W.D. Muhammad, I'll say it this way, and I'll use the words that he used, our Imam W.D. Muhammad. When he was born, the community was born, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important for us, at least for those of us who can, to hold on to that and really value what Imam Muhammad is for the development of this new language environment that we are a part of.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me make a comment on that. I want to thank Brother DeLacy for calling in with that wonderful observation. But enough for our listeners.
Yes, sir.
Two things I will say to what you just very well stated. One, what did Prophet Muhammad tell his people in his last speech? He said, those of you who are here, tell those who are not here. Perchance they'll do more with it than you. And we
mm-hmm.
and that's the accurate of the futuristic value of the future fruit or produce is going to be more
mm-hmm.
and abundant. That's one response I would say to what you just said. Here's the second one, and I was thinking about John Lewis when he said get in good trouble. Whenever I say this one, so like get in trouble,
yeah,
I pray it's good trouble. Okay, one of the challenges that the new generation have and that we have and had from those who may be older, we miss seeing the leadership because we are too busy looking at Wallace Muhammad until we miss seeing Walter D. Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Though we love Wallace Muhammad, he's a great person, but he himself constantly pointed us to Walter D. Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I too follow Walter D. Muhammad. So that is the body of knowledge that we have. And so we
right.
our job is to keep it fresh, keep it available. Right now, we're working on getting on books and getting it cataloged, categorized. And if you have your library, designate someone to inherit your physical library after your physical death. You see, you know, you got too many books mm-hmm. going out mm-hmm. because someone passed away. Okay,
right.
Preserve what we have. Alhamdulillah. So let me, I got another third caller now. Okay, let me see. We're going to try and get our callers in. My next caller here, 706. Caller 706, can you give us your first name, your city, and your question or brief comment, please?
As-salamu alaykum. I'm Hussein Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. I just want to say the brother who got off, those of you who are under 45 or 50 years old, you are the true students of Imam W.D. Muhammad. You know, the rest of us mm-hmm. who came earlier before you, we are the students of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the students of Malcolm X. We have a lot of teachers before Allah blessed us to come up underneath the guidance and the tutelage of Imam Warthi Muhammad. And we are supposed to be supporters for you students. You know, we are here to mm-hmm. answer questions, et cetera, and share our wisdom and our experience with you so that you can stay on a clear path toward taking up the responsibility and the covenant of establishing what Allah has referred for everybody, Deen al-Islam. If we want to get mm-hmm. back our time and get rid of the status of the state of Oxford that we all are in right now, we got to go back to basics. Imam Warthi Muhammad, mm-hmm. not W.D. Muhammad, but Imam Warthi Muhammad came to teach the religion and what Allah has referred for the human family and specifically those of us who have to establish it, and that is Deen al-Islam. So we have to take back our time, and
yes,
we've been talking about time, and we've been talking about identity. And then in closing, we are Khalifa. That ain't changed. Imam Muhammad, when he came on board, when Imam Warthi Muhammad came on board, he said, you are created Khalifa. Your creator said that. So when
that's
we get
right.
back to that,
mm-hmm.
that striving, that identity, you know, we still stuck on Muslim, and a lot of us, inshallah, especially you students of Imam W. Muhammad, you brothers and sisters who are under 50 years old, you are Muslims. Because you really believe, you seen us grow up, we was your parents, and you love the spirit and the things that Allah done to us. But you have not got the faith yet because we are in the way. You are the students of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
And the engineers.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, thank you. Very excellent observation. What came to my mind, it was a Ramadan session. It was in Cleveland, Ohio. It was January, December of the year. But, a brother, may Allah forgive him for his sins, Brother Rasul Met Yung from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes. My friend, Brother Met Yung.
Something happened with Imam Mikhail. Imam Mikhail, can you hear us?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you kind of blanked out for a little bit. I can't hear Imam Mikhail anymore.
No, we can't hear him. They cut him off. He get ready to say something good, and they cut him off.
right. I'm listening to what he's getting ready to say, and they shut him off.
Shut it right off, man. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what he's going to say. But just picking up on the brother from Georgia. Which he always calls in with very good comments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a young son. He's in the early 50s, and he really has taken on Imam Muhammad's mind, the language, the spirit. I mean, he's really ready to take it to the next level. And that's what I love to see. You know, I love to see the young people embrace, like you said, you know, a lot of them haven't done it. Because
mm-hmm.
they're not familiar. And I remember Imam Muhammad said something once. He said, you know, if you want to see me, you keep your eye on that Quran. You know,
yes,
you stay in that. Yeah, because I know when I read it, man, oh, Lord have mercy. I see why Imam Muhammad gave us this book to read. We waiting for you to come back, man.
I don't know. You know what? I see this all the time. They should design a cell phone made for African cheekbones. We got these high cheekbones.
We've been ad-libbing until you come back, brother. So come on.
Okay. Hear me out. Rasul Mat-Yun.
At the Ramadan session.
Yes. I got it.
Was that
in 94?
Was that 1994?
I'm not sure. I have to go look it up.
95?
I'm
going to
get the wrong year. But I know it was in Cleveland, Ohio, and it was a Ramadan session. And Brother Rasul, Imam Rasul, Allah forgive me for his sins. He read a letter about how he was born and raised in the community and how his father had always fed him, Imam Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad, when he heard the letter, Imam, he invited the brother up and gave him a hug. And some people listening were there. And the Imam Muhammad said he had been waiting for that generation, for those who were born after 1975. I'm tying this in what our brother El Musi from Columbus, Georgia just said. For those who were born after 1975. There's a lot of things that they don't have to get out of their mind. There's a lot of cobwebs or teachings from the days of Islam or from the church or from the streets that they have to remove from their mind. And Imam Muhammad said he was really looking forward to seeing what that generation produced, those who were born in our community after 1975. And so if you want to hear for yourself, you can find these. They are all available. These lectures are available online. We'll be down to our last few minutes. I may go over a little bit because I got some callers here. They've been very patient. And we want to thank our brother, MLC, for that observation. Very good observation. Okay, we got a caller here. This is from my city, 317. Caller from 317-450. Can you give us your first name? We know your city. Can you give us your first name, please?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yes, my dear.
Speaking of reading the language, also, you can read the language on the people's faces and their expression.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go somewhere, and even when you travel across the country, you read the language of the neighborhood also, as how it is presented. And sometimes you may think that that you have to behave. Sometimes you do have to behave in a certain way when you're going to some areas and you're reading, the environment. So those are other ways to read, to observe, because you know when you need to get out of there, you know where you need to go.
I like that. I like that. And I'm going to use that if I can. I hate to say it, not in such a positive way, but when certain investors come to our neighborhood, they see a confused language. And so they don't respect the African-American community because they're speaking the language too. Or worse, when certain police patrol our neighborhood and they see a certain condition or a certain language from our neighborhood, they don't treat us with the same respect. Yes, they would go into a different neighborhood. So that's, I like that observation. Any of our brothers have a comment on that? Imam Ayman or Imam Fahad? The language of a person's face and the language of the environment.
Yeah, I think what you said is right on it. I mean, the whole environment, as we said earlier, the whole environment is a language, and that environment speaks to you as soon as you walk outside. If you walk in the house sometime, that environment speaks to you too if things is out of order, But yes, and so that makes the police sometimes very negative toward us because they're looking at certain things in the community that are very terrible. Like 2 days ago, we had a shooting at a young man. They chased him down and just shot him down like a dog in the street. They had to rope off the whole area. So these things are going on all the time. you know, and man, it's got to stop. But that's in a certain language to people, and they'll have no respect for you when you don't respect yourself.
You mean for her?
Yeah, you know, I definitely we have this language, you know, and I know I was listening to the sister when she mentioned about facial expressions and reading language or the communication from people's language or body expressions. We definitely see a lot of that, and in fact, in terms of communication, we know that at least some publications have stated that most communication is nonverbal, is nonverbal communication. So you know, you can see you can see what people are saying. You know, in fact, there's a book that I read called The Psychology of Persuasion that focuses on how to persuade people to a certain way of thinking. They said that in that book that I read, Psychology of Persuasion, that 90% of communication is nonverbal. And the rest of it, much of it, the remaining part of it is how you position yourself. You know, if you're lecturing to people, if you give your lecture a position as the lecturer, a higher position, or et cetera, very little is verbal communication. And so when we look at what's going on in our neighborhood, and you look, you don't even have to speak to the people. You just look at people's facial expressions. A lot of times what you see is frustration, anxiety, problems. And it's a lot of it is exactly what is going on in the inside of the person. And I'll just say this here. What we see expressed through our bodies is just an expression of what we have in the inside of us. You know, it's just like Allah says in the Quran that on the day of judgment, our bodies will speak. That's what's in the Quran. Our skins and our bodies will speak. Well, that's the day and time that we're in now. We're
you know
in
what,
that
you, time. What you said? What you said remind me also what the Quran says. It says, referring to the believers being offended by the disbelievers, it says what came from their mouth was bad, and what is in their heart is worse. So that it came to my mind from what you just said. Communication, you know, it's like, and sometimes people will say that. You know, they say, you know, I just get a bad feeling around so and so. You know, I just don't. You know, other young folks say, no, I ain't feeling that. You know, because they're true to their nature. Okay. We're going to make this our last call here. I think I know this number here. It's from not the ATL, but the STL. I may be wrong.
St. Louis.
I think it's our brother Mark Shaheed.
Mark Shaheed.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Imam Miguel Sayer, and to your very esteemed guests and your co-hosts, and to the IWDM listenership. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. Just want to say ditto to all that has been said. I tuned in a little late, but the last comment that the brother made, you know, I teach this in the learning lab, 55% of all communication is body language. 35% is tone of voice, the tone of voice.
And it only leaves
10%, 7 to 10% is actually the words that's used. So, you know, in that communication, you know, a word is anything that sends a message to your mind is that we have to conscious of our body language and also the tone of voice in which we speak, because we could be saying the right thing, but the tone of voice and the body language will indicate something else, and that is what will be perceived. Just want to just, and also, Brother Imam Mikhail, I love that language, virgin birth, that immaculate conception. It has actually happened right here in this contemporary time with Imam W.D. Muhammad. I think we should use that language more to give an indication. It will help our people to realize in terms of Prophet Isa Ibn Maryam and understanding him in a better way too. ask the people to tune in every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio, which you're listening to now, Words Make People, each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that's hosted by yours truly. And Dr. Patricia Salaudin is my co-host. And following that, the MGM Roundtable, which is a Muslim Global Message Roundtable, as we have a very special guest, and the topic will be on Juneteenth. Juneteenth, as we know, is coming up this week. So please tune in. That'll follow right after that, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And then on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with yours truly, Mike Shaheed, and my co-host, Principal Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We will be on the book, the resource. The El Quran is always the foundation, but we will be utilizing a resource book called Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet in Making Waves in Our Marriage with the Ripple Effect. You don't want to miss that, so please
tune
in.
What's the phone number? What's the phone number?
The phone number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673, IWDM Radio on Wednesday and Thursday night here. Thank you so much, Brother Imam McHale.
Thank you. Yeah, we're make a comment.
Always enjoy
a
Words
comment.
Made, man. This is inspirational.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Well,
this is
wonderful. So thank you, and may Allah continue to bless you and us richly. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark Shaheed, he has shows on the same station, the station IWDM. And so tune in, see, Wednesday at 7 and Thursday at 7. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's Eastern. That's Eastern.
Eastern time.
Yeah, because I'm in the Central, so it's 6. And if you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, Midwest Central Standard Time, it'd be 6 p.m. for you. And if you're out on the West Coast, Pacific Coast Time, it'll be 4 p.m. your time. So just listening wherever located. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, I want to make a comment. We need to question everything, right? So we got to question Juneteenth. And I want y'all to check me out. Don't take my word. I want y'all to go and review what happened. I think it was Granger was his name. General? I think it was General Granger finally made it down to Texas to announce to the slaves that, hey, y'all were really free 2 years ago. And he must have landed. He got there. Somewhere in Texas, was it Port Arthur? I'm not sure the city. But he made it to Texas. And he read this proclamation to let them slaves know, y'all been enslaving for 2 years extra. Didn't even know it. But then when he went, also in that proclamation, you got to go read it. You got to question everything. He told them, he said, now since you're free, go back to your plantations. Go back to your plantation and keep on working, but now you're gonna get paid. But now you're gonna get paid. Yeah. Okay.
They have to go to.
There it is, right there. The brother was saying about how we work all them jobs.
Yes, sir. Talking about 40 acres in a mule, you got 40 hours. I don't want no 40 acres. You definitely got 40 hours. Good.
That's right.
And then, this is a Michael Sahir thing. Don't take it because you don't want it. And they say, well, where's the mule? You better go look in the mirror. That's your 40 acres in the mule.
It is.
That's 40 acres in the mule. You know, see, now question the language. Why did they say mule? What is a mule? A mule is a crossbreed between what? A horse and a donkey. Right?
Yeah.
But a horse can reproduce more horses. They can have sex and make more horses. A donkey can reproduce more donkeys. A mule is sterile. So what are they telling us? What are they telling us? We're going to give you 40 acres and a life. Once this is over with, we ain't getting nothing else. And we still going around talking about I ain't got my 4 acres in the mule. Yes, you did. Because you ain't produced nothing. It's sterile.
All right.
That's right.
It's sterile.
A mule is sterile.
They put a wrap on you. That's what they do.
A wrap, yeah, a condom.
That's right.
They put a wrap on it.
Put a wrap on it. So, alhamdulillah. Let me just read some comments here, and I'll read a little bit over. This is important. This is in the book. I'm sorry, I don't have the page handy with me right now, but it's in the commentary book that we are working on, and we hopefully in the next few months we'll have the book done. We're done with the editing. We're trying to get a new company for printing the book, which will give us a more stable book that where the covers won't come off. And plus we added an index, a pretty extensive index for research of the book as well, because the book itself is 500-something pages, 540 pages, I believe. So you need the index for that book. So the index is about done and all that. So, but anyway, this is from the book. And the man was speaking about the city Cairo, overnight, like Cairo, Egypt. And it's really from the Arabic word Kahara, like Kaf and Ha and Ra. Right. That's the soft H, Kahara. And you get the name Cairo, and Iman was saying how that city. I'm picking and I'm bouncing around in the book now. Why Jesus went to Egypt, and how the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. You know, Iman making connections with all these things with Egypt, because Egypt to this day is a place of mystery and mystique, the pyramids, and people trying to interpret that. So it was a city of secret knowledge that they held the people's minds in check with. So the word Cairo really is saying a mental oppression. And when the Jews were free from Cairo, to Egypt, they were really saying that they were being free, not that they were physical slaves per se, but they could not work their way of life in there. And so Moses had to come and free them from that slavery and to get them out and into the promised land. So Imam Muhammad was saying, he said, Cairo from Kahara, meaning to overwhelm the senses. They have to keep their language up, and it goes back to ancient Egypt. In ancient Egypt, in their myth, they have their secret knowledge, their secret sciences. And in the myth of Egypt, the myth, M-Y-T-H, the myth of Egypt, their myth, in the myth of Egypt, Kahara is a word that means to overwhelm the senses, to subdue the senses, and make the senses helpless to perceive or deal with the Kahara. They cannot deal with their oppression. Okay, and that's why they get the name of the capital of Cairo from that word, Kahara. And
yeah.
So you just have to be very mindful of the language that's being used and how they will hold the language over the people. Yes, sir.
And let's note this as well. Admittedly, by those who were the founders of the American society, America is the new Egypt.
Yes, in very many ways. Yes, sir. Because Imam Muhammad made a comment on that. He said, did I write it down? Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to read it verbatim. In referring to what you just said, Brother Imam Fahad, right? America being the new Egypt. Imam says this here. He says, on your birthday, your death started. Talking about your physical birth. For those who don't have this understanding, right? He's saying, on your birthday, your death started, and you died in the United States of America.
Yeah,
but the few live in the United States of America. Those who have understanding those who have understanding of how this great nation is put together and for what was it put together for and why was it put together. They are the ones who have light on their life, and they have vision. They can see, and they are mentally alive in this great body of knowledge we call the Constitution of the United States of America. And he said, and I'm using Constitution very generally here. He said he's just referring to the paper. But Imam Muhammad was saying that he's alive in America. And by us coming alive as a people with this new language, we will be resurrected, if you will. We will be resurrected in our mind and come away from freedom. Because freedom didn't come with the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery just transferred. That's why Dr. King, he went to his grave seeking what for us? Freedom. He wasn't seeking the civil rights. Don't buy that. He had very little. Of course, he went to the White House and they got his signed the paperwork. But what did Dr. King say himself before he was killed? He said, no Lincolnian, talking about Abraham Lincoln. He said, no Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation
can free us.
He said, no Johnsonian, referring to Lyndon Baines Johnson's Civil Rights Bill can free us.
Right.
Dr. King said, until the Negro go down to his self-asserted manhood and write with the ink of his manhood and freedom, we'll be free. So now this is 100 years after this proclamation signed by Lincoln. Dr. King he's speaking with a clear voice. Listen to him. He said, we are still not free because what Lincoln done, thank you, Mr. Lincoln, what Johnson done, Kennedy done, thank you, sir, we're still not free until we free ourselves. And you cannot free yourself being a slave of a language environment. It's impossible. If you don't have the courage to question everything, not some things, everything. Because you may say, you mean everything? Yes, with a capital E and a capital V and capital everything else. Because you have to say, even if what they gave to you is right, you haven't figured out in your mind. You may come back and say, oh, okay, we found value in what you said. What you said passed our scrutiny, passed our test. You can't give it to us because you say it, make it right. No. We're not doing that. You didn't do that when you thought you were freedom from England or from the British. You didn't do that. So, no, we're not doing that. And we're not asking. We're not even demanding. We're just saying, Allah's God, and I'm getting my share of this dunya, and I'm going to use it to get to the afterlife. And after me, necessarily after I die, it may be after I get done with this conversation. It may be after anything. It may be my next generation. So this is what we have to teach our children and children from the time they can speak. That's why we give the assign and the common the baby's ear. What's that saying to us? Don't wait for Shaitan to speak to that child first. You speak to that child first. And keep speaking to that child. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you all. I want to thank the callers, the listeners. These shows are archived. Within 5 minutes of me hanging up, you can go back and listen to this show again. And if you so will, pass the word, tell a friend. Brother Matt Fahar, thank you for your wonderful contribution.
Thank you all. And may Allah continue to bless you with this great, beautiful effort. Brother Imam Mikhail Sahir, I love you. I've known you for years. You are a great brother.
Yeah, you too.
I appreciate you.
Alhamdulillah, that's mutual. Times two.
Alhamdulillah.
Imam, thank you for your wonderful
support. Yes, sir. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Imam, for too. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you as well, Brother Imam.
One day, inshallah.
Inshallah. I was out in Los Angeles a few weeks ago, and I'm coming back. I love it out there.
Okay, come on through 5450. 5450 South Crenshaw. That's where you can find me on Friday.
I tell you what I do when we hang up. I do a two-way text or three-way text, and y'all have one of them.
Well, good.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, because Imam Fahad, he's also the director of a full-time Clare Bahama school in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, definitely need to talk to him.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, listen, I look forward to seeing you, man, when you come out here.
Yes, sir.
Inshallah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
How long are you going to be out here?
I don't know. I just want to get out there and stay at least 3 days or so.
Okay. Come on, man. We're waiting for you. Come on.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I was born and raised here, brother. So, you know, we got to put everything on the plate for you, you know?
Yes, sir. Our principal is from out there.
Our principal
of our Clare Muhammad School is from out there. And I'm sorry, I'm taking up too much time, Brother Imam.
I'm sorry. Maybe the person is very late, but someone just hit the one on their phone. I'm going to make this our last caller because I have another engagement to go to. But I want to honor my guest. This call from 914. 914, I'm putting pressure on you. You got to be quick.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Muhammad calling from Auburn, New York. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, when you said about Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, the man said if he had been born another time, he would have been listed as a prophet.
That's right.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
I was there at the lecture when he said it in Los Angeles at the convention center. It was called the Super Ego.
Yes, sir. I was there for that. I remember that. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you, Brother Muhammad, from Auburn, New York. Okay.
You're
going to close out with our song, Words Made People.
Yes,
sir. 1980, I wrote your song. 81, I think it was.
All righty. Somebody.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step or give advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, word can buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people and people that make the world go round. People, check out the words that make your mind. If your words are good, then good you'll be. Cause those kind of words that set you free. When thinking starts, words come back from ideas deep in your mind. You need words to make people and people to make the world go round. Words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are good, then good you'll be, as those kind of words that set you free. When thinking starts, words can buy from ideas deep in your mind. You need words to make people, and people to make the world go round. Words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free with words.